Welcome to Shattering This, the program devoted to the largest and fastest growing segment of society, to those who know that all of the world's religious, political, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they're all counterproductive, and there's not one of them that can be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 2 to 3 hours, is 877-376-45. This is the second time, but another fire was set in a Swedish mosque early this morning. The second arson is linked to the initial one that torched a mosque at the end of last week, 4 days ago. It is a country, Sweden, that is in the midst of a, let's say the media has framed it anyway, as a fierce debate on immigration. Now, the facts are that Muslims in Sweden have been a serious problem. Sweden went through a six-month period with almost nightly riots by Muslims, where they assaulted people, looted shops, just basically acted like scoundrels. And the Muslim population in Sweden, it takes advantage of Sweden's cared, indulgent, over the top, way too generous safety net. You don't have to work in Sweden. Society will take care of you. You don't have to worry about medical care. You don't have to be responsible for your savings. You don't have to do anything. It is a socialist society where all needs are taken care of regardless of a person's desire to contribute to society. And far too many Muslims in Sweden have taken advantage of the generosity, if you will, of the Swedish politic. And as a result, even in a society dominated by political correctness and extremely liberal academia, liberal philosophy to the absolute max, and this is a society that would champion the idea of let's be tolerant and multicultural. Now, they've realized that Muslims are different and that they don't fit in their society, that they are a drain on the state, that they are nothing really more than parasites, and that they've become criminals. So there is this backlash against Muslims and twice now arson of mosques. I was sent an email from a listener over the weekend that recommended a particular, I think it was political, philosophical agenda. I'm not going to name the agenda or the emailer. And the idea of this particular agenda was that it would denounce all religions. It didn't denounce all political schemes. I don't know why it picked on religions and not politics, but it didn't list specifically military and media schemes. But nonetheless, it recommended ruthlessness and a mix of violent and non-violent, saying that violent alone doesn't work, non-violent alone doesn't work. You have to be both violent and non-violent in your response to the evils that are corrupting society. And I read the first two pages of the manifesto and wrote the person back and said, no. The only tool that is effective in dealing with jaundiced human schemes like religion and politics are words wielded wisely. Yahweh's testimony is the best retort. But understanding his perspective and speaking from his perspective using evidence and reason is always the most moral and just approach to corruptions. Now, you're not going to stop the corruptions, but you're certainly not going to stop the corruptions with violence. In fact, that is certain to fail. It will just make the state and make these institutions more resolute. It will cause them to be more interfering. They will spy more. They will discard the constitutional protections that citizens have all the more. They'll be ever more militant and ruthless and armed to the teeth if you respond violently. Responding violently to corrupt, militant governments only makes them more corrupt and more militant. And so this response, and I share this, and to what is happening in Sweden is absolutely wrong. Just as I would say burning Qurans is stupid. Read the damn thing. And if you were to read the hadith of Muhammad's initial assault on his fellow Arabs at Badr, that terrorist raid, that armed robbery, that mass murder of Badr, and then read the Quran's account of it. It's all you need to know about Islam. Read it. Don't burn it. Expose and condemn the mosque using evidence and reason, using the oldest sources available in Islam. Don't torch it. When you torch the mosque, you're no better than the people that the mosque is inspiring. Don't respond fire against fire. Don't respond violence against violence. Be better than they are. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to prevail using evidence and reason. We're not. Most people who are extraordinarily active politically, most people who are guided by their religious faith, are immune to evidence and reason. It will roll off of their backs like water off a duck. Never going to penetrate. It'll have absolutely no effect whatsoever. You're not going to bring the institutions down. There's no reason even to bring them down because the replacement wouldn't be any better. You know, it's like Afghanistan and Iraq. Vietnam, we brought all of those governments down, but the replacements were worse. It's like Libya. It's like Egypt. We brought all of those regimes down. What we got in place of them is far worse than what was previously there. So it serves no purpose to even try to bring it down, and you're not going to prevail. But by using evidence and reason, there are those out there. Maybe they're 1%. Maybe they're 0.1% of the population. But some percentage of the people who hear evidenced and reasoned, rational arguments that expose and condemn politics and religion, the media, economic institutions and the military, the policing mechanisms and the judicial systems across the world, and those close at home, that those words, that evidence, will resonate with them. And they will say, you know, this is what I suspected was true. And that once they've begun to question the very societal norms that they have been indoctrinated in, stewed in, steeped in, then so long as you share that in context with Yahweh's offer, His Torah, His guidance, and so long as you do at the same time, in the same place, with the same enthusiasm, what you will find is that lots of people, lots of a significant number of that 1%, 0.1% that is open to the truth, that is willing to walk away from those institutions that have been exposed and condemned, will continue their journey and walk right to Yahweh along the path He has provided. So to those who would burn the mosque, I'd say don't. For those who would burn the Quran, I'd say don't. For those who would go to war against the Talibans and the Shababs and the Boko Harams, I'd say don't. Don't. Those who would fight the Islamic states, no. The Muammar Gaddafis, the Saddam Husseins, don't do so. You're not only wasting your time, your actions will be counterproductive. Come to know what inspires them. Come to know what they deploy to control, to abuse, to fleece their people, to indoctrinate them. Expose and condemn it. It's a far more effective solution. Polls have shown that the anti-immigration Sweden Democrats are winning over voters from the center-right and center-left. The party, Sweden's third largest, wants to cut a number of asylum seekers getting in by 90%. Other mainstream parties have promised to preserve the Nordic states' traditionally liberal stance. Well, here's the reality, folks. You've already let too many in. You know, how many people diseased with Ebola do you have to bring into society before that society is susceptible to Ebola? And Ebola is only a contact fluids transmission. Islam spreads vocally. You don't even have to be in contact with the individual. You can read what they are promoting. It's viral on the internet. It's passionately proclaimed by Muslims everywhere. It is astonishingly disorienting. People are amazingly susceptible to it. And the more anti-Semitic, the more disillusioned, the more prone to violence the individual is, the more antisocial the individual, the more prone they will be to this horrible disease known as Islam. You've already let too many in. It's way past the time that a 90% reduction is going to do any good. President Obama on Sunday, marked the end of U.S. combat missions in Afghanistan, calling it a milestone rather than mission accomplished for the country and thanking American troops for their extraordinary sacrifice. No sacrifice. Zero. Isn't there an extraordinary sacrifice by American troops? There was no sacrifice. Now, I understand it. Many Americans, a couple of thousand of them, lost their lives there. Well, it wasn't by way of a sacrifice. They weren't saying, take my life, oh country, I'm sacrificing my life to you. No. There's nobody over there that was kidnapped. There was nobody over there that was drafted. There was nobody over there that was compelled. They chose it. It's what they wanted to do. They wanted to go play army. You know, if they believed the propaganda that they were serving their country, shame on them. If they believed the propaganda that the U.S. military was a force for good, then they were led astray. But there was no sacrifice on behalf of the U.S. troops. So the President of the United States called the troops that served in Afghanistan, I use the serve just to use the military political parlance, the propagandist parlance, having made an extraordinary sacrifice. Say what? Come on. Is there any one of them that said, you know, I think I want to go sacrifice my life. I'm going to join the army. I mean, I watch the sports, and the sports, they have all of these army commercials. And I don't see any of them saying, come, make the extraordinary sacrifice. Surrender your life. It'll be good for you. We need people willing to surrender their lives. Come join the army. They didn't choose to sacrifice their lives. And they didn't choose to serve. They chose the job. Now, a disproportionate number of them chose the job because they like hunting. And the prospect of hunting on somebody else's dime, hunting for a living, being paid to hunt, being given the best equipment in the world to hunt. Yeah, that's and hunting prey that can respond, that can kill you. Oh, the thrill of a hunt. Now, this next statement is the most egregious lie being promoted in America today. On this day we give thanks, the Obamanator said. We are safer and our nation is more secure because of their service. Bull. We are enormously more at risk, not safer. And we are enormously less secure because they were deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq. Not only America, but the entire world. This mission was stunningly counterproductive. And when you have to justify your egregious behavior with lies, when you engage in two wars based on a pile of lies, both the Afghan and the Iraqi wars were started on a pile of known lies. I mean, this wasn't a case where we were deceived. It isn't a case where we misunderstood. It isn't a case where the evidence didn't seem to be consistent with our initial conclusions. It was that the President of the United States, George W. Bush, knew in fact that he was lying and that he lied to the American people to justify wars that ultimately claimed nearly 10,000 American lives between troops and U.S. support personnel there and claimed well over 100,000 and probably in the range of 200,000 lives back here when they committed suicide based upon the immorality of what they had been asked to do. I think it's murder, personally. I think George W. Bush ought to be tried for murder, along with his entire cast of characters that infiltrated the White House, infested the White House. America is awesomely less safe because of what we did. You know, in Afghanistan, we sacrificed lives, making that country worse initially. The treatment of women is far worse now than it was before we invaded. Incidents of terrorism are up astronomically since we invaded. The Taliban is far more murderous after our invasion. They're back to producing 90% of the world's heroin since we invaded. And we're now supplying the weapons for a future Taliban government. And the moment we leave, the Taliban will simply return back to power. And the fact is that we empowered the Taliban to take over the country in the first place. And all we did is temporarily push the Taliban out of Afghanistan into Pakistan, where they destabilized the country with nuclear weapons, making America and the world far less safe. Now, in Iraq, all you have is stupidity. Now, the weapons of mass destruction did not exist. There was no yellow cake uranium purchase. There was no active nuclear program. There was absolutely no relationship between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. They were arch enemies. We broke the country. Terrorism is up a millionfold since our invasion. The government we installed is completely and totally run out of Tehran. We gave Iraq to Iran. They destabilized the entire region, taking control of Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. It started the Syrian civil war, a proxy war. Sunni via Shia Islam because of what we did empowering Shia Islam. The world is enormously less safe because of the mission that Americans engaged on in Iraq and Afghanistan. It isn't safer. It's at much, much greater risk. We'll be back. On this day, we give thanks. Thanks to soldiers. Not soldiers that stood on the front lines as Ruskies or Chinese tried to invade America. Not soldiers who stood on the front line as Canadians and Mexicans tried with all manner of weapons to rob Americans of their precious possessions and to occupy the country. No. He's giving thanks to Americans who were paid, who chose a job where they were paid to go off and break two countries, making two countries infinitely worse than they were before. And in the process, making the world less safe. Squandering our resources, shedding blood. We give thanks to those who killed. We give thanks to those who destroyed. Why would we do that? I'll give thanks to Yahweh. He offered something that's worthwhile. He made a tremendous sacrifice for you and for me. There is no soldier out there who made a sacrifice for me or for you. we are safer and our nation is more secure because of their service. First, what they did was not service. It wasn't a charity that they were part of. Killing, destroying, invading is not part of service. You want to serve, go donate your time to a hospital, a children's hospital perhaps. Entertain the children. If you want to serve, go to a convalescent home and listen to and entertain the aged and dying. You want to serve, go to an adoption service or a pet service that takes care of stray animals. Serve there. Donate your time. You want to serve, go off into a national park and pick up litter. That would be service. Being trained to give away your free will. Being comfortable with your free will. Being indoctrinated in a host of propagandist lies. Being trained to kill. Being trained to destroy. And then deploying those skill sets. That ain't a service. That's counterproductive. And particularly when you deploy those skill sets in somebody else's country. What if any Afghani that attacked America? There was no Iraqi attacking America. There was no Afghani plotting to attack America. There was no Iraqi plotting to attack America. The Iraqis and Afghanis didn't deserve the consequence of the American invasion. And if there's somebody out there that can tell me how we're safer and more secure as a nation because we invaded Afghanistan, and I'm all ears. What, do you think that Afghanistan was going to mount an invasion force? Were there any Afghanis that participated in 9/11? If there were, man, we have the story all wrong, don't we? Maybe Afghanistan really had the Taliban had a fleet of aircraft carriers and battle groups, and they were staging an invasion of America, and we just didn't know about it. And our country kept us secure because that was their plan. Maybe the Taliban had a mighty air force, and they were going to bomb America and then send in the paratroopers to occupy the country. We just weren't aware that it was a Stone Age society. It was just all the pictures, all of the stories of Afghanistan must all have been wrong. They must have been planning an invasion of America and that our military stopped it, making us safer and more secure. Because unless that's the case, everything we did was counterproductive. Taliban's better armed, more ruthless, more resolute than they were before our invasion. Afghanistan is far more violent towards women. The government is the most corrupt on the planet. What did we gain? Were there any Taliban members that were part of 9/11? Don't think so. Were there any Taliban members that were interested in anything other than Afghanistan and Pakistan? No, not one. What the hell did we do that made America safer? Destroyed our credibility, made a lot of Muslims really angry at us? Nothing. But I'll tell you, by invading Iraq and Afghanistan, we sure as hell stirred up a hornet's nest. And that hornet's nest is the basis, the catalyst for World War III. You want to see how secure those invasions made us? You just stay tuned. You wait to see how Islam ultimately continues to be enraged and catches fire. And that the world is subject to arson. Yes, we made every possible mistake. We lied about the nature of the enemy. We killed countless civilians. We engaged in a war where the military never fought. We made a bad situation much worse. And the summation of it is a lie by the President of the United States to say that America is safer. America has never been at greater risk. We bankrupt the nation by supporting a $1 trillion military spy apparatus. $1 trillion a year, we bankrupt the country. Makes us much more vulnerable. We built a spy apparatus that spies on everyone, including Americans, in wholesale disregard for the Constitution. We engaged in torture as a result of these wars, destroying our credibility in the world, making Americans vastly less safe as they travel abroad. We became the arms merchants of the world, equipping the very enemy that we were fighting. As a matter of fact, with the Islamic State, we're providing them with the enemies, the weapons that we're using to justify our armed attacks on them. Everything about it is a pile of lies, including the justification this president gave for the service and the sacrifice of U.S. troops. If it was noble service by U.S. troops, then you wouldn't have 80 a day taking their own lives in suicide. And that's the number. It's 80 a day. It's been 80 a day since they began returning from Afghanistan and Iraq. 80 a day. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have returned and taken their own lives because of how corrupt that mission was, of how counterproductive it was, because the lies were way too disorienting. On top of that, you have 600,000 vets claiming post-traumatic stress syndrome, not serving the government, raping the government and its taxpayers of $6,000 a month from trauma, mental trauma that they experienced. That doesn't sound like service to me. If that's service, we might as well call the welfare recipient and the food stamp recipient is doing a service for America. What's wrong with us? We have an armed institution, an army, that Navy, Air Force, and spy apparatus that's inseparable from our military, that not only squanders $1 trillion a year, but is larger than the rest of the world's investment in these things combined. We're the most militant nation on earth, the most prone to invade other countries. The only one to use drones to go bomb civilians. Kill people without trial, without due process, without investigation, without consideration. We're completely and utterly out of control and have made ourselves so enormously vulnerable in the process. The longest war in U.S. history, the Afghanistan invasion, accomplished nothing worthwhile and destroyed so many things in the process. Squandering lives, squandering money, the suicides, the post-traumatic stress syndromes, all of the propaganda, all of the wasted plane loads of money that was shipped over there, squandered, stolen, all of the abuse of little girls, all of it, making a bad situation worse. And yet we'll tell ourselves that we did good. And you know, the majority of Americans are so indoctrinated with patriotism, have this inability now to separate their religious philosophy and their political philosophy and their stance on the military. It's all one. Nothing resonates. And so the lie is accepted. And at sporting events, it's celebrated. It's celebrated in the media. It's everywhere you look. And yet there isn't a single person on earth that can explain how our invasion of Afghanistan or Iraq made America more secure. And anybody with half a brain cell of intelligence, an open mind, an ability to think rationally, morally, can list hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of reasons that our invasions of those two countries made America vastly less secure, vastly less safe. So why would the president lie? Why do you lie about such horrible mistakes? We lied to invade and to go to war. We lied when the war ends about why we were there. It's nothing but lies. Lie piled on top of lies. Lies to justify the conflict. Lies to justify what we have done. How does anyone grow when all they consume, all they spew, are lies? Those who are subject to such lies, who agree with the abominator, I'm sorry for you. What we will talk about in the second hour of this program, which is how to differentiate between religion and relationship, how to know the difference between what you have been told and what is true, won't do you any good. You're too far gone. Your iniquity is full. I'm sorry for you. The next lie promoted by the abominator, and this was actually by the army brass that was standing next to him, is he quoted as saying, "Resolute support," that's the name of our ongoing mission there, is "Resolute support will serve as the bedrock of an enduring partnership between NATO and Afghanistan," General Campbell told the audience. Yeah, resolute support. That's what we did in Vietnam, wasn't it? It was resolute support. We stayed with them about 6 months after we pulled our combat troops out, and it took about 9 months for the for Vietnam to be as if we were never there. Resolute support. Yep, that's how it turned out. Yeah, we were going to give our resolute support to the army in Egypt. And then when the Muslim Brotherhood won the election overwhelmingly by 3/4 of the vote, we pledged our resolute support. And then when they were overturned in a military coup, we have our resolute support. Right. Resolute support. We're using terms that say the opposite of what we're going to do. We won't be supportive. And our support has never been resolute. We've always been fickle. And there's nothing to support. Nothing. I mean, the existing government is insanely corrupt, unpopular. And within 6 months to a year of the time that we leave, the Taliban will reclaim the country. Then what are we going to support? How resolute are we going to be? This bedrock isn't to say this bedrock is of sand is to give sand a bad name. To call it enduring when it's likely to endure a year, maybe two, is absolutely a corruption of the English language. To say it's a partnership when it is a parasite, wholly and completely dependent, helps to underscore the fact that we have done everything we could possibly do wrong. Meanwhile, Reuters is reporting that the Taliban in Afghanistan on Monday declared the defeat of the U.S. and its allies in the 13-year war, a day after the coalition officially marked the end of its combat mission. The NATO-led International Security Assistance Force is shifting to a support mission for Afghan army and police. That worked out really well, didn't it, in Afghanistan? You know, we've been down this road before. We didn't learn much from it. We moved to a support mission in Iraq. And with our enduring support on the bedrock of partnerships, the Islamic State ran roughshod over those troops and stole all of the military hardware that we had provided. The International Security Assistance Force rolled up its flag in an atmosphere of failure and disappointment without having achieved anything substantial or tangible, the Taliban spokesman Mujahid said in a statement emailed on Monday. Well, that's true. They rolled up their flag in the atmosphere of failure and disappointment. Everything they had sought to achieve was impossible. It was a lose-lose war. Declared it to be a lose-lose war before we invaded. I begged the country not to go in. I told the country exactly what would happen if we invaded, right down to the smallest detail of what would happen if we invaded Afghanistan, and it all materialized exactly as I predicted it would between 13 and 14 years ago. The same thing is true with Iraq. Not only didn't we achieve anything substantial or tangible, our actions in Afghanistan were wholly counterproductive. About 13,000 foreign troops, mostly Americans, will remain in the country under a new two-year mission named Resolute Support that will continue the coalition's training of Afghan security forces, whom the Americans despise. They despise them for the way they abuse women, which says a lot because, you know, the most abusive environment for women in America is the military, but Muslims are a special kind of abusive to women. The way they rape little boys, the way they treat animals as if they have no moral fiber, no morality of any kind, the disgusting nature of their religion, yeah, they hate them. They don't trust them for obvious reasons. More Americans recently have been killed by infiltrators than by anyone else. They don't trust them. They don't want to be around them. There's a 0% possibility that this is a partnership which is resolute. It too will fail.